Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trumpet presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, love.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Good morning. It is The Drive with Shane Piper, Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. It's game day.
Who's Northwestern?
Just the second team in the Big Ten.
They're second place?
Yeah. Hottest team in the league. They've won 5 in a row. Most wins in a row currently in the Big Ten.
I'm telling you, I'm using like the analogy. This is like Danny Hamlin coming in after 5 wins to Daytona. He's the hot one. And then all of a sudden, everything gets shuffled. The big one happens. And Northwestern ends up in 9th.
Ebbs and flows. And yeah, there's a lot of compactness, if that's even a word.
That's
there,
a good word.
Sitting in the middle of the pack, which is essentially the second tier on down until like 10th place. Although there was a little bit of reorganizing last night. Lon and I were kind of high on Iowa as far as projecting the rest of the way.
Oh, that's right.
Picking what the Big Ten tournament was going to look like. And of course, with us giving our vote of confidence for the Hawkeyes. They've lost 2 straight. They got blown out in Evanston.
Isn't that cool?
And then they lost last night in Madison.
See, that's a snippet of my gambling.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's a snippet of I am dead on the guy that does not know how to pick any kind of a winner. And all I've done is followed sports for 40 years of my life. I don't know what I do wrong. I guess I need to give up. And maybe stocks are more of my – no, it wouldn't be. My 401k
would be tanking companies. Right now, we're just, you know, making guys on the golf course hit shanks and teams go ice cold from 3, and the rest would be putting people out of business.
That's a good point. I would set off a firestorm of bad news around the country and the world, so I will stay away from the 401k and the stocks and all of that.
Since we told Kyle that Iowa was going to go on this little run here, I think they've gone 6-for-52 from 3.
Holy.
They were 3-for-28 last night in Madison. They lost 64-52. If you're an Illini fan, that's good news on one front.
Okay.
Because now that win in the Kohl Center, which has been teetering back and forth, is it a quad one win? Is it a quad two win?
Yep.
With Wisconsin winning that game, it's once again a quad one win. So Illinois, 4 quad ones, UCLA, Texas beating Rutgers at home, and then winning at Wisconsin.
So Illinois now on the 3 seed line.
They're not.
At the NCAA tournament.
Another situation where they picked up an extra quad one based on the result last night, but they dropped a couple more spots in the net ranking. I was listening to our good friend. We got to have him on here soon, Brad Evans, who is one of the top bracketologists out there.
Stud.
And he even said, I don't really understand what the recipe is for the net, like what the formula that they're baking up there. But I guess if you want to look at it, maybe – Iowa losing makes that loss in Iowa City doesn't look as good. I don't really understand.
Yeah,
let's get somebody on from the net. Can we call them up? Yeah.
Is the guy's name Tom Net? Like he's just like he's kind of like the what's the other one that you follow heavily?
Ken Pom.
Ken
Pomeroy.
Like, just some dude named Tom Nettenhausen, and so he just does the net, and it's like he just all of a sudden he's like I'm just not happy with Illinois right now. I'm going to bump him a couple.
Does he live in a quote-unquote hobbit-like house or cave that Aaron Rodgers came out of. That's the front page of ESPN.com right now, is inside the hobbit-like structure that Aaron Rodgers hung out in for 4 days.
It just feels like our world is so weird. But I'm guessing back when I was, you know, back when Quiet Riot was burning down houses probably. I'm guessing it was just as weird back when I was young, but man, it's weird. Can we do our projections again, since there's not that many games remaining, and see where Illinois would land? Kyle, do you even remember what website that was? I'm excited to hear Kyle's thoughts today on Illinois and Northwestern, by the way. He's been watching the Cats.
It's funny you say that, because while you guys were talking about projecting Iowa so highly, I pulled up the website so I could do some playing around.
Let's go! He's getting... dare I say he's now better than Trevor.
Shots fired.
Those are some shots fired. I'm sorry, Trevor.
I don't even agree with that.
You're right. I'm totally,
I don't even agree with that.
I'm totally kidding. Trevor, you're really good, though, Kyle. So you keep it up. Maybe you can pass Trevor. I did see his spot, though, on Robbie Hummel, what you had sent me. That was funny.
Did a video.
That was funny.
Where Jeff Goodman and Rob Doster, if you haven't checked it out, check out Field of 68 or Trevor's Twitter account. And he produced and put together the video of them searching for the Robbie Hummel statue at Purdue, which, of course, there is no Robbie Hummel statue, but it was pretty comical. Matt Painter had a great bit on there. He was hilarious.
I loved that he played along with it. It was great. It was great. I loved how he was like, do you have any Robbie Hummel jerseys in the Purdue bookstore? And the girl, I mean, I know what Goodman was getting at, and that they wouldn't even know who that was. And the one girl nailed it. She goes, you mean like the signed jersey we have on the wall? I was like, wow. She knows her stuff, man. That was awesome.
For as much as mostly you, but we give Trevor some flack. We're really proud of what he's doing.
So, oh, my goodness. I'm extremely proud.
Yeah.
Very proud.
Do you want to do the predictions now, or do you want
to? I'm okay with that if Kyle's ready to roll. We had him as a four, right? We had him in a double bye the first time we did this. And we have been god-awful since on, like,
Iowa. Are you talking about Iowa or talking about Illinois?
No, Illinois, right? We had Illinois on a four. The four line, I think, at the Big Ten tournament. So, yeah, let's do it on the heels of Northwestern.
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to hear from Brad, right? Today we'll hear from Brad Underwood. Josh and Cassie Arner met with the media yesterday. And me, as a season ticket holder, I'm always in the horseshoe. When I first started in the horseshoe, the tickets were $99. It was for Red Grange, right? And then they've gone up a little bit, but not much, right? Nothing to complain about. I still love the value, what I get in the horseshoe. Now they're back down to $99. So anybody out there that is wanting to get season tickets for Illinois football, $99 gets you all seven home games at the University of Illinois. I mean, that is a hell of a deal.
It's a good deal.
It really is. I mean, that's a family. And then give $100 to the iFund or more, and you get free parking. Instead of paying, I think it would be seven times, it's like $150. You save like $50 just by joining the iPhone. There, that's my commercial for the University of Illinois. They can pay me back later by letting me tailgate the next time COVID hits. We got a handshake deal on that, Josh?
No.
All right.
Next time COVID hits.
Well, yeah, no doubt. That was
whatever comes next.
That was my fault. Yeah, but, right, whatever comes next.
Yeah, we will hear from Brad Underwood, who spoke with the media yesterday. We'll hear from Josh Whitman. I reached out to Northwestern person. They ghosted me. I don't know if it's just that big of a game.
They're
looking
time.
For the sweep.
They're so big little, time now.
Well, they're a ranked team now. You know?
Right. So they're not coming on our little show.
Why would I talk to someone who covers a non-ranked team? Below us.
Well, the Illini women were ranked.
I was going to say, we need to mention that.
We got home from the game, Andrew's game, and I had forgotten. I mean, I hadn't, but I kind of had. I had Andrew on my mind and that team. And I had forgotten that the women were playing, and I just got on Twitter real quick, and I know it was an 80-55? Is that right?
90-57.
90-57. Against the team you just beat in Lincoln 2 games ago. What in the world? Kyle said today that they shot like 20%. So that doesn't
Illinois
help.
Was 23% from three, just 6 of 26. 34% from the field as a whole.
Did Nebraska shoot 90%?
Nebraska shot 60% from the field and knocked down 10 threes, 42% from beyond the arc. It's one of those nights.
I
didn't see any of it, admittedly, so I can't.
Yeah.
Break it all down as far as what happened, but
that just became alarming. Like, that was a score that you were used to seeing in the last 5 years, right, that we have not seen out of this team all season. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa.
It's unfortunate because that was the last ability to see them at State Farm Center, their last game in what's been a really good season. Right. And as we talked about yesterday, they were sitting on that 9-seed line going into last night as far as the bracketology goes. One loss I don't think is going to be that drastic to knock them off, put them on the bubble or anything, but you want to finish the season strong to try to solidify your position as much as possible. Hopefully they can win their season finale and go into the Big Ten tournament, make a little bit of noise before going to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. When you get pasted like that at home against a team you've already beaten, I can't imagine. I mean, that would be hard to then confidence-wise fire back from that. You have a chance at Rutgers to beat a team that you beat by 18 earlier this year here. You've got a chance to go there and get a win. And I almost, I mean, dare I say, I almost think that that might become a huge game for this Illini women's squad just to get their minds right going into the Big Ten tournament, which I forget where the women's tournament is this season.
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, that's right. So the men are in Chicago. The women are in Minneapolis. So you were at that Minneapolis.
I was for the Big Ten Media Day.
That's right.
Back in the fall. So the women's tournament will be in Minneapolis this year. And then next year, the men's tournament will be in Minneapolis.
Okay, got it. All right, interesting. So, well, listen, I mean, I'm not going to dog Shauna Green's squad because they've surpassed expectations by 1,000 times, but I think maybe the best way to brag on this team is to get a little upset and disappointed by a pasting they took at home, right? I mean, that shows you that we now have, we're vested in this team, and we want them to win, and it's not just another ho-hum, oh, how did the women do? Oh, of course. It's not like that anymore. It's we need to know if they won or not, and to see that score was kind of alarming, but I'm hoping it was just kind of an outlier. They'll get back, they'll get things back rolling against Rutgers.
One encouraging trend for you. To date, and it's been almost the entire season, Shauna Green's team has not lost back-to-back games.
Oh, wow.
The entire year.
The men had that rolling for a while. And then it finally
happened.
They
did until the Indiana-Penn State.
That's right. So, well, if that doesn't describe, I mean, you know, we've been searching for consistency all year. So I guess the consistent part is they haven't lost back-to-back games, but that also means they haven't won many back-to-back games. No, I'm kidding. They have. Both programs have.
Before we catch a break, and I do want to break down the matchup more for tonight's game, Illinois versus Northwestern. 8 p.m. tip on BTN, Kevin Kugler and Robbie Hummel on the call if you're watching from home. Let's run through our simulation real quick.
Let's go.
So about
I'm
a week and a half left in the regular season. You got Purdue still in first place, 13-4. Northwestern, 11-5 in second place. Then you have Maryland and Indiana tied for third at 10-7. A little bit of a bunch up after that. Rutgers, Illinois, Michigan State, Michigan all are 9-7 in the league. Iowa, Wisconsin, Penn State, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Minnesota round out the bottom half of the league. So, Kyle, let's go through the remainder of the games, and Lon and I will decide who we are going to tank the last month. I say month and a half, but on the last week and a half, who we want to take out. Let's do it.
Well, why don't you start by trying to tank Northwestern?
I'm good with that.
Because they play Illinois tonight, I'm assuming.
But that means I would have to say that Northwestern wins this game, and they are not going to win this game. They are not going to win this game tonight.
Illinois favored by 6 points. I'll give the official score prediction later in the show, but I'm taking Illinois.
Illinois.
Okay, Ohio State hosts Penn State. They've lost like
Ohio State's favored in this game.
I know.
Are they really? At 3-13 overall in the Big Ten.
I like Penn State.
I do, too. I mean, I have not watched Ohio State this entire season. Are they that bad? Minus the one game they played Illinois. Are they just that bad? Is it just Sensabaugh and nobody else?
They've lost 8 in a row.
Wow.
They've just, like, given up completely.
That's what you had said. That's amazing to be that bad for this team. That's amazing. I don't mind it. I don't mind if all 40 of their sports had a year like this. I'd be absolutely fine with that at the Ohio State University.
Since the ball's taken a step back, and then for whatever reason, him and Suing just don't seem to correlate in terms of both playing well. And they even moved like Suing off the bench, then they benched Sensabaugh and had him come off the bench.
Okay.
I wonder if there's something going on with those two.
Interesting. Does Penn State have any chance still? They're 11. They're 16 and 11. So if they would win tonight, 17 and 11 and 8 and 9 in the Big Ten. And I don't have their peripherals or whatever.
So they are at Ohio State and they host Rutgers. They're at Northwestern and they host Maryland.
So they could win three of the four. I mean, they could, right? I don't see them winning.
They could.
I don't see them winning at Northwestern, maybe.
Be a tough one. I think they're kind of on that first four out or maybe next four out line.
Okay.
Looks like Lenardi has them in that next four out. So kind of in that range of the eight teams that are just on the wrong side of the bubble right now, but still time to work their way onto the right side.
But close enough to know that tonight's game is an important win for them.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So I'm good with that. I'll take Penn State as well.
Michigan at Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Yeah, I agree.
Michigan State at Iowa this weekend.
Let's keep the mojo rolling. Iowa.
I agree.
Have you seen Iowa's home road shooting splits this year?
I haven't.
Is it like the Colorado Rockies?
They lead the country. They lead the country in biggest disparity between points scored at home versus on the road.
Really?
Isn't that weird how the Rockies are always like an above 500 team at home, and then their overall record is like 60 and 100?
What's weird is why was I never able to shoot anywhere? Like, I never had one of those. Lawn was just bad.
Like, I don't know.
I can't think of one gym where I just lit it up. I was like, yep, I had a great one there.
You subscribe to the every rim is 10 feet high and every whatever that line is. Isn't it like Hoosiers or something? He's trying to tell them that.
Not. Not like
every
I was,
court's the same. Right. Every game's the same.
Not like I was playing in huge arenas in the little Ocala Valley by any means. But, I'll take Rutgers in that.
Rutgers is not a member of this game that I just
mentioned. Oh, that was Michigan State
and Iowa.
Well, Michigan State got that big win at Indiana, right?
Well, it was in East Lansing.
Oh, it was in East Lansing. Iowa needs this more than Michigan State, don't they? Iowa's 17 and 11, Michigan State 17 and 10, Michigan State 9 and 7 of the Big Ten, Iowa 9 and 8. I'll take Iowa at home.
When in doubt, go to the home team.
Okay.
Home teams, quick stat. Home teams this week in the Big Ten, 7-0.
Oh, wow. Good stat. All right, I'll take Iowa then.
Minnesota at Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yeah.
Indiana at Purdue.
Purdue.
Northwestern at Maryland.
Oh.
Maryland.
I agree.
Maryland's been really tough to beat in College Park. They don't really win at all away from home, but I think they've only lost once there all year, and that was to UCLA, and they got beat by like 50.
John Gross, number two, is doing pretty well.
He is.
What's his name?
Kevin Willard.
Kevin Willard. He's doing – I mean, they were so impressive against Illinois, and then they just tanked for like 2 weeks, and I'm like, what happened to you? Like, you came out and were so good against Illinois. What happened? And then now they've all of a sudden caught traction again where they don't lose, especially at home. So, yeah, I'm with you on this. I'll take Maryland.
Wisconsin at Michigan.
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 Illinois at Ohio State.
Illinois.
And Rutgers at Penn State.
Rutgers at Penn State. I mean, we already have Rutgers winning, right? In this scenario, not in this game, but we've already predicted them to win one of these
games.
You had
them beating Michigan tonight.
And this is at Penn State?
At Penn State.
I'm going to still go with the idea of Penn State is battling for that NCAA tournament.
That's where my mind was at.
Okay.
I like Penn State.
That they only make it in when the Crispins are around. So they need to change that. They need to update stats.
Iowa at Indiana.
Indiana.
Michigan State at Nebraska.
Well, Nebraska's been kind of squirrely at home, haven't they?
They have. If we give this one to Nebraska, they're going to almost finish 500 in the league on the year.
Oh, my.
Don't they already have 7 wins? Or 7-10.
They're 7-10. Yeah. Who is this? Who is it again?
Michigan State.
Michigan State. I'll take this.
Who are we talking about again?
Yeah, I'll take the Spartan.
MSU, sure.
Penn State at Northwestern.
Oh. Wouldn't it just be like Penn State to just go in there and just shoot lights out?
Yes.
Super sectionals are coming up.
I do think Northwestern's going to Yeah, I don't know if I want to put that out there. Double down on the whole, yeah, the Wildcats are going to fall off here a little bit.
Mm.
Northwestern?
We got to go Northwestern. Okay.
Maryland at Ohio State.
I mean, this isn't just an automatic, right? Because I just don't know about Maryland, especially on the road, but you got to go with them.
Let's give Kyle one. I'll say Ohio State and make him break the tie.
Ooh.
I'll go Ohio State as well because Maryland can't win.
I'm fine with that. Like, I'm not – I wouldn't be that – you could sway me very easily.
I don't feel that confident in it. I just don't know if Ohio State's going to lose out.
I was going to say.
I'll come back to that one at the end and, like, flip-flop.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
See how it changes.
Good call.
Michigan at Illinois.
Illinois.
Rutgers at Minnesota.
Rutgers.
And Purdue at Wisconsin.
I'll go Purdue.
Purdue.
And then the final weekend of the season, Ohio State at Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Michigan at Indiana.
Indiana.
IU.
Nebraska at Iowa.
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 Wisconsin at Minnesota.
Wisconsin.
They hate each other. I could see Minnesota finally getting a second win, but I'll go Wisconsin.
Maryland at Penn State.
Tough.
We had Penn State losing to Northwestern.
At Northwestern, yeah. Penn State.
I agree. I'll go Lions.
Illinois at Purdue.
Purdue.
And Northwestern at Rutgers.
Oh, man. I got to go Rutgers.
Rutgers.
That's it.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
Survey says.
Last time you guys had him at a 4, getting the double bye. This time, 5.
Oh.
So just missing the double bye.
So what's the Wednesday?
They would face the winner of Nebraska, Ohio State on Thursday.
And then
play. What's the rest of the field look like?
Minnesota 14 against 11 Wisconsin.
Wisconsin and 11, wow.
Wow.
Nebraska, Ohio State's the 12-13. Then you have the 8-9 game is Maryland, Penn State.
Okay.
The 7-10 game is Iowa, Michigan. So you guys loved Iowa last time. Now you got them falling to 7.
Yeah, that's on it. That's on them, not us.
That's on them, right. Exactly.
Michigan State is the 6, and then the double bye teams are Purdue finishes first, Rutgers second, Northwestern third, Indiana fourth.
Oh, where are we at in the world of Northwestern getting a double bye in the Big Ten tournament? Now, if you flip that Ohio State-Maryland game.
Illinois drops to the 7.
Holy
to take
smoke.
On Michigan.
Wow. That's amazing, just one game. That is amazing. Illinois has got how many games remaining?
They have 4 left.
Northwestern at home, at Ohio State.
Michigan at home.
And
at Purdue.
You got to win 3 of those, right?
I would say.
You got to win 3 and just hope that it all works out to where you're getting that double bye.
If you really want to talk about possibly getting a double bye, you have to do that.
Yeah,
minimum.
I would agree.
And then if you want to get that 6th seed in the NCAA tournament, I would say that's really key as well. You wouldn't want to lose at home to Michigan or Northwestern. And while Ohio State's not even – are they even a quad one game anymore? I don't think they are.
I can't imagine.
Like I said, they've lost 8 in a row. You can't go there and lose.
Right. That's exactly right. Don't let that be the game that Ohio State wins to not lose out. Right? Just don't do that.
Yep.
So – it'll be interesting.
There's that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well,
we shall see.
I'm anxious for your breakdown and also Kyle's. He's been, and I mean this, I'm being serious, he's been watching some Northwestern basketball. So I'm anxious to hear his breakdown of Boo Booey and the crew.
Used to be something you wouldn't say out loud.
Even if
you had been watching Northwestern basketball, you wouldn't tell anybody else that you'd been watching Northwestern basketball.
Northwestern averages 35 rebounds a game. Is that about what Illinois averages?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, look, I'm looking right now. But why does it just seem like you should be able to control them inside? Shouldn't you? Illinois averages about 39. So you should win the rebounding battle tonight.
Dane was playing pretty well in that first matchup. I don't know if he got in foul trouble or Illinois didn't seem to maybe get him the ball enough.
Yeah.
Which has been a theme in some games.
It has.
They had too many turnovers. One great thing that Northwestern does is turn you over. They're good at contesting inside the arc. They make you shoot threes. That's another thing that they have profiled with their defense. So we'll see. We'll break it down more as we go.
Illinois averaging 13 turnovers a game and 13 assists. To be, I'm going to actually decimal you on this one because I feel like it's important. 13.1 turnovers, 12.9 assists. Technically more turnovers a game than assists. Mm. That's never a good stat.
It's not what you want.
Never a good stat.
Nope. We'll hear from Brad Underwood before we get out of here, as well as Josh Whitman.
Okay.
And we will break down the matchup more after this break. But beforehand, Lon's got to do a little work.
As somebody said, it's now Kyle Palm. Well, we got to start saving money, everybody, because America Saves Week is coming up February 27th through March 3rd. Widely recognized national campaign where thousands of organizations join together to collectively encourage their communities to focus on their individual financial wellnesses. Busey has some tips on that. As always, save for the unexpected. You never know when the car is going to break down, the dental bill, all of that stuff. How about a vet bill? You never know when those are going to pop up. Save to retire. That sounds good. Make sure you're doing it, especially if you have dreams of living on a beach or in Wyoming or maybe in France. I don't know why you'd do that. Save automatically.
Zachary Perrin when you're over there.
Well, right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, although you liked France when you went over.
I went to Italy.
Oh, no, it was Italy.
Yeah, Italy was pretty awesome.
Okay, then save for Italy. Save automatically instead of just putting, like, all of your paycheck in the checking account. How about put maybe $100 or $200 or a percentage into the savings and then don't touch it? Always nice to bring up that bank account, see some money in that savings. And the biggest for me, reduce debt. Get rid of those credit cards. Reduce all the debt you can, car payments, etc., as soon as you can. I mean, obviously, we would all just do it tomorrow if we had the ability. It's not that easy. Invest in your financial future. Visit Busey.com. Busey, member FDIC.
I remember.
When we come back, we'll talk more Illinois Northwestern. Another dynamic that we haven't hit on. Will Terrence Shannon go tonight? If he does, what does that mean?
Okay.
If he's out again, what does Illinois have to do to make up for that loss? We'll talk all about that next. This is The Drive.
Let's go.
Hey, Lands Heating and Cooling here today to talk to you about rebates and incentives. Hey, at Lands, we've got $400 off a brand new system rebate. Ameren's got AC and heat bump rebates and up to $1,000 for qualifying systems. We've got 0% for 60 months on all qualifying Train equipment. Call Lands today at 217-355-5512. Lands Heating and Cooling. Why call anyone else? Or for details, go to landsinc.com.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I have a Stever for you today. An unusual one. You need a new furnace? I can help. $2,000 off a furnace from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. And I know we're winding down winter, but you've been limping through, and you can get this taken care of for a great savings. I have an Amana 80% furnace, 5-inch filter, Ecobee thermostat, $4,800. But if you take $2,000 of my dollars, it's now down to $2,800. And I don't think you can do better than that. In fact, if you just want to buy any furnace, I'll give you $2,000 off. It's from ABC. If you're interested, GoStever.com, GoStever.com, or simply text in ABC. You can do that right now, 217-359-2255. The Stever, helping you buy a furnace with my $2,000. 217-359-2255 or GoStever.com.
Hey, Lands Heating and Cooling, today to talk to you about your indoor air quality. When's the last time your ductwork's been cleaned? We have systems to help improve filtration, clean your air better, UV air purification systems, duct cleaning. Do you have dry skin? Is your hardwood cracking? We've got whole house humidifier systems that we can add onto your furnace to bring that air up to perfect quality for you. Call Lands Heating and Cooling today. Lands, why call anyone else?
Ashley's President's Sale is going on now.
The already marked down President's Day prices are double discounted. Save big on all furniture. Everything is on sale. Take the sale price and double the savings. We have hundreds of items ready for your double discount, including our bestsellers, mattresses, and decor. Hurry into your local Ashley store to shop the President's Day sale now. Ashley is giving away a 2023 Nissan Altima. This isn't a national giveaway, it's local, with greater chances to win. Just stop in store at 602 West Anthony Drive, no purchase necessary.
Invested in our community since 1908. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana. Maybe you've attended an event at one of the more than 50 organizations First Federal supported last year. We help make our community a better place, and we invite you to visit us and discover better banking for yourself. Experience the exceptional friendly service from our knowledgeable staff. Speak with real people, not a recording during business hours. We're never too busy for you. Hey, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try. We think you'll love it here. 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 435120.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Ashley's President's Sale is going on now. The already marked down President's Day prices are double discounted. Save big on all furniture. Everything is on sale. Take the sale price and double the savings. We have hundreds of items ready for your double discount, including our bestsellers, mattresses, and decor. Hurry into your local Ashley store to shop the President's Day sale now. Ashley is giving away a 2023 Nissan Altima. This isn't a national giveaway, it's local, with greater chances to win. Just stop in store at 602 West Anthony Drive, no purchase necessary.
Hey Illini fans, it's your girl, Chineo Gumakake. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. Let's break down tonight's matchup.
Okay.
8 p.m.
I do like what Scott said. Northwestern, odd name. I've never really sat there and thought about it, but Northwestern. So we're going to found this college or whatever you said. Like, we're going to develop, we are starting a new college, and we're going to call it Northwestern. Because it's north and west. That's interesting.
These brilliant people.
Illinois is pretty boring. You're just Illinois.
Well,
in the state of Illinois.
This makes sense.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I get it. It's northwest Chicago.
I've just never thought of that. Tell me about this Northwestern team. Boo Boo is going to get his, right?
He has been recently. 20-plus points in three straight games, and he did so against some good competition, Purdue, Indiana, and then Iowa. He's been more efficient here recently. I've talked a lot about that. He's been a guy that, against Illinois, and mentioned it yesterday, it makes sense that Trent Frazier gave a lot of guys a hard time on the perimeter, made it tough for them to get clean looks, and he seemed to struggle against the Illini for the most part. And even, as you mentioned as well, like, didn't have the best shooting game against the Illini in the first meeting. He was like 3-for-12 from the field or something like that, but he got to the free throw line a bunch.
A lot.
And that's something that he really does well. He's top 10 in the Big Ten in free throw rate, so gets there really frequently because he's a good downhill type of player. He's got burst. He's got the ability to draw contact. And I know that he put like two fouls on Sincere Harris, who was starting at the time.
Oh, that's right.
In like the first couple of minutes, and all of a sudden Sincere's on the bench. Yep. So probably see more of Jaden Epps tonight. Got to make sure that Jaden is able to stay in front, is able to try to keep him out of the lane as much as possible without fouling. I think just in general – Northwestern, for as good as their record is, for as well as they've played, still not that great of an offensive team.
Right.
Like, Bowie has carried a large load for them. Chase Audige is someone that is a streaky scorer and can jump up and make threes. I know he made four of them against the Illini as well. But when you look at their shooting percentages, not all that great.
Okay.
They do rebound the ball pretty well in the offensive glass, but they really rely on getting to the line as a big part of their offense. So Illinois has to be able to clean up on some of those reach-in fouls, some of those cheapies that they've been able to, unfortunately, pick up here recently, like, you know, Ty Rogers picking up four against Minnesota. And I think that coming off the Minnesota game, that was kind of the thing that was a little disconcerting, is that Illinois let Minnesota score a little too easily for stretches of that game. So you would hope that nothing comes easy tonight. Northwestern has to work for everything. And then, again, don't send Bowie and company to the foul line.
Can I read you Boo Booey's career stats against Illinois real quick?
Please do.
Is this good or bad? Do we want to hear this?
I'm sure it's going to be great.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's played 6 career games against Illinois, averages 9 points a game.
Wow.
25% from the floor, 5% from 3.
Oh. Is he a senior?
Yes, he is.
Does he have another? Well, I don't even. It doesn't matter.
He's made 1 3 against Illinois in 6 games.
He has one career 3 against Illinois.
1 for 19.
Wow.
Yeah, Bowie could come back with the COVID year.
What I think that speaks to with what Kyle just said speaks all about what you just said about Trent Frazier. I think every Illinois fan knew that Trent Frazier was a good defender and continuously got better at it to the point of, I mean, really good. Like, it was his calling card, right, at the end. I mean, I know he could hit threes and get rolling at any time on that kind of a stretch, but in his mind, he wanted to be the best defender in the Big Ten, and that shows you what he was able to do when he could lock down on somebody. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive there.
It definitely is. The biggest thing for Northwestern that stands out about them is their defense.
Yes.
They're top 25 nationally defensive efficiency. They're really good. As far as turnover rate, you think about the first game, Illinois, I think, had 14 or 15 turnovers in that game. And Northwestern does a really good job of turning you over and creating offense off of that. You don't think of Northwestern as like a run and gun team, which they're not.
Right.
But they do a good job of when they get those steals, they're able to turn those into quick hitting points. So, again, for an offense that can have a hard time scoring, when you play good defense, kind of get them in the half court, you got to make sure you're not turning it over, not only for your own offensive production, but for them to be able to get out and get some easy points too. So, and with Matthew Nicholson in the inside, he's a 7-footer. That's kind of a big difference for Northwestern this year versus years past. They have a legit rim protector, a guy that can block some shots, that can rebound it well. It's tough to score against them inside the arc, and they really – Brad mentioned this after the Minnesota game. Like, a reason why Luke Goody didn't get any shots off against the Gophers was Minnesota wasn't helping at all. They weren't cheating inside. They weren't leaving him on the corners.
Right.
The game in Evanston, and Northwestern really does this in general, they want to pack the paint. They want to make driving lanes tough to come by. They want to prevent you from scoring close to the basket. They'll give you some open threes.
Okay.
So Illinois is going to have to make some of those. Of course, everybody out there is probably sitting there saying, please don't make us shoot threes. I don't want to see us chuck 25, 30 threes tonight. Illinois shot 28 in the first meeting, only made 8 of them. And I can vividly remember a handful of those corner three-point jumpers that were wide open and just didn't go down. I think Luke can obviously hit those, Matthew Meyer. But that's kind of a big part of Northwestern's DNA defensively, is to make you take jump shots and make them. And we'll see if Illinois can do that.
Maybe our buddy RJ Melendez is feeling good enough now after his recent double-double to make a couple of those shots as well. It would be nice knowing that Matthew Meyer's kind of doing what he does. You feel as though Luke Goody is, his pedigree would be a guy that could get you 2 to 3 threes a game, right? And you feel like once he's almost gotten back to normal, which I feel like he has, then I think he's a guy that now all of a sudden you can rely on. If that's even 2 more threes than what you were getting, that's huge. And again, as mentioned with Meyer, now with Terrence Shannon, who you mentioned about what will happen if he's back, and we'll get to that here in a second. Obviously, Terrence Shannon, when he's on, man, it is smooth, and it's fun to watch him splashing threes from deep. So maybe this Northwestern team, I'm guessing that Chris Collins and this crew is going to say, make them beat us early from three, and if they are, we will adjust. I don't mind that. I mean, I've always said I'd still rather give up, you know, threes long distance, but you have to at least do a little bit of defense on that. You can't just let them sit out there wide open. But it'll be interesting to see if that kind of happens tonight, where they do again let Illinois just kind of fire away. But now that you've got Luke, now that RJ's feeling better in terms of mentally with this game, Matthew Meyer seems to have found it, and if Terrence Shannon can come back, and we know what Epps can do as well. I just ripped off like 5 guys. Like, why is Illinois – why can't they make threes? I mean, it seems like those 5 ought to be making threes consistently.
Game on Monday was the first time since Wisconsin at home in early December that they had made double-digit threes
Wow.
in a game. But maybe it does translate over, again, a much tougher defense to do it against tonight, but that's kind of what Northwestern would much rather give up is the three ball than letting you score inside. It's trying to find that balance of not just settling for jumpers and like treating it as like a 2-3 zone and just saying, all right, we're just going to chuck away from three and completely abandon going downhill, completely abandon going inside to Dane. You got to be able to do some of that. And I think if you look at it on paper, especially if Shannon's out there, you would think that Illinois can athletically, I wouldn't say overwhelm, but out-athlete Northwestern to an extent. But Chase Audige is a good player, really good defender. I think if Shannon plays tonight, he'll see a good helping of Audige as he did in the first matchup. And Northwestern really contained him, turned him into a passer. He had 7 assists in that game. But as far as getting downhill, that was a challenge for Terrence in that matchup. Beyer can go to the rim. Yeah. Epps, obviously, as well. Kyle, as our self-proclaimed Northwestern expert.
I want to hear some analysis.
What stands out to you about their defense? I've seen fan bases like Purdue and I think Indiana too complaining about how physical that defense is. Like they were saying that they almost like the Chris Kramer Purdue where they foul you so much that the ref can't possibly call it every single time.
Right.
Are you seeing that, Kyle? I've seen some of it. Like they will really get into you. Like Audis, their guards, they turn you over and then kind of in the paint where they don't want to give up much. Is it just kind of they maul you and play with that controlled physicality, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it is that. It just seems like they're really energized defensively, like as a team, and the guards are really good at pressuring the ball and really getting into you physically. And the other thing they do is that they'll post trap every post touch, every single one. Like, and it doesn't matter. They did it against Zach Edey and Trace and had a lot of success doing it, but I guarantee they'll do it every danger post touch tonight. Wow. So he's got to be ready to pass. And I'm sure they will live with him kicking it out to a shooter and living with Illinois shooting the ball. Illinois is going to need to make some shots tonight. That's the bottom line.
Fairly deep team as well. 7 guys averaging more than 20 minutes. So they can stay fresh. In other words, with what Kyle's explaining to get out and kind of get on you, they can stay pretty fresh to do that during the game. And of course, they're still, like you said, offensively, they're not going to just tear you up. So they're kind of monotonous on offense to where they can kind of rest a little bit while they have the ball, if that makes sense, to where then they can be as tenacious as they are on D.
I would say they don't tear you up as long as Boo Booey isn't the next in line to fall with Jalen Pickett and Trace Jackson Davis and Kobe Brown and Jamison Battle. You don't want to see a 30 burger from Boo Booey tonight. I'd have to look up, maybe during the break, I'll look up what Boo Booey's career high is. I'm sure it came against Michigan State because he's lit them up a couple of times during his career.
That's, I think, kinda, it's 28.
Is it?
I think so, because you had mentioned yesterday about him getting 30. He hasn't this year. I was looking down the list. I don't think he's reached 30, but I could be wrong. So maybe it is 28.
I think Kyle's efforting that.
He's efforting. Can I do something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know how I like to update stats? This is from a William Weinbaum. I assume he goes by Bill on ESPN. It says, Northwestern, the Big Ten surprise second-place team, has won 4 conference games by 13 or more points for the 6th time ever. And that's the first time in 56 years that they've won 4 conference games by 13 or more points. Isn't that crazy? Mm. They ended losing streaks of 11 games to Purdue, 9 to Iowa, 8 to Illinois, 7 to Wisconsin, and the W versus Purdue ended a 19-game losing streak versus #1 teams in the country. They also ended a 25-game losing streak versus ranked Indiana men's hoops teams, and their ranking of #21 going into tonight is the latest in any season that they've been ranked, or that high, I guess.
Yeah.
So thanks,
they're
Bill.
They're updating a lot of stats.
They really are.
It reminds me of the 2019-20 Illinois season.
Yeah.
They're not as – I don't know if they're as good as that team that had Io and Kofi.
Right, right.
When they went to Kohl Center and ended the 15-game losing streak and an extended one, especially on the road, and then beating Michigan, beating Purdue for the first time in forever.
I agree. And I kind of read that just to – that's just kind of how special of a season it's been for Northwestern. And can I ask you this before we get – I know we got to get to Shannon. I'm going to write it down. Have you guys ever watched roller derby?
I think I have, yeah.
So when they kind of pile up behind each other in a row, and then they take the last person and they just like whip her to the front, and she's got like, she just, is Northwestern just the next in a line of Big Ten teams that are kind of having their thing right now? And I'm talking this year. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, Northwestern's ranked, this and that. And then 2 weeks from now, they're not ranked. They've lost three of four. I mean, that's happened to Illinois. It happened to Iowa. It's happened to various teams, it seems like, this season.
You count Maryland in that, probably.
Maryland, yep. Rutgers. So it just seems like it's like a roller derby league in the Big Ten that, like, one team gets pushed ahead, and it's like, here we go. Let's enjoy our 2 weeks in the limelight. But I think what Northwestern would counter with is that we've had this stretch of games that isn't just one lap, right? I mean, so they have kind of controlled the race for a while, if you're going with the roller derby analogy. And maybe they're not. Maybe I think they're just the team for me that I just can't trust. Like, in other words, I can't make my mind trust Northwestern, and maybe tonight will change my mind completely.
I think tonight will be very telling. Of course, teams that get on these 4 or 5 game winning streaks and they go on the road and maybe they have a clunker, it's not their night, they lose. It doesn't mean that they're going to disappear and go away forever or anything, but still looking. I know it falls within the narrative that we said a couple weeks ago, which was like, oh, look at their schedule coming up. It's pretty daunting. They could fall off a cliff, which they didn't. They've turned it into an elongating winning streak. If they win tonight, it's their longest winning streak they've had since 2017, the last and only time they went to the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
But still, their final four games, if they lose tonight in particular, kind of seeing where it goes from here, they got Illinois tonight on the road, this weekend at Maryland on the road. At Maryland on the road. I know that's repetitive. Penn State at home, and then at Rutgers. So 3 of their last 4 away from Evanston.
Well,
at Illinois, which, tough place to win. At Maryland, really tough place to win this year. At the Rack, goes without saying. Then hosting a Penn State team that, as we talked about, has a ton to play for and can, if they get hot from three. And I just said it, like, Northwestern wants you to shoot threes.
They do. They do.
Penn State, more than willing.
But what you just did right there, what you just did is what I did when I explained how they were going to be playing Purdue and Indiana and Iowa. There's no way. And they went out and won every one of them.
I know.
I need to watch Northwestern. I've never watched less basketball in my life than I have this year. And it's my son's fault. But I'm fine with that, right? I'm fine. I got 2 more years of, and then 3 years from now, I'll veg out on every freaking game that happens. But I just need to understand how good Northwestern is, because I can't let myself do it. I just can't. And if for some reason they would lose 3 of these next 4, and all of a sudden they're 12-8 at the end, that's still probably better than what I would have expected out of Northwestern. What were they picked to finish in the Big Ten this year?
13th.
Wow.
Only ahead of Minnesota.
Kudos to Chris.
I believe.
Kudos to Chris Collins and this crew. He's got older guards. Hasn't that been a storyline a lot this season? Brad Underwood just said the other day that we are the youngest team in the country. Is that true? Is this a Lovie Smith thing from 8 years ago?
I think that's a little bit of a hyperbole, but one of the youngest teams.
One of. Maybe he said one of. I shouldn't put words in Brad's mouth. I think he did say one of. And I started thinking to myself, I'm like, how could that be the case with Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins being I'm like, how can – but then again, you've got a lot of freshmen that are playing. But the one thing that Illinois continues to run into this season, like Penn State, like this Northwestern squad, are guys that are heavy in experience, and especially at the guard. And when you've got a Boo Booey and a Chase Audige that have been around the block in this Big Ten, they're not going to get rattled by the Orange Crush and Kyle Tosk taking his shirt off tonight. You do keep your shirt on, I hope.
I do.
Have you ever been on TV? Because every time they show it and I slow it down when they're showing the Crush, I'm like, I'm going to see Kyle, but I never have seen you.
I can tell when the camera's like coming by, but I mean, I never go back and watch.
I was going to say, do you hide or something?
I have no idea, because I don't like go back and look for myself on the game I was at.
Kyle's texting his mom. He's like, I'm at the library. And then all of a sudden the game comes on and he's like, let's go.
I'm in the front row, one of those people pumping up the camera.
She's like, well, hold on a second. I think that was our son.
No way. He was double fisting Bud Light. That couldn't be him.
Right.
He's a freshman.
Get him off the radio show now. Get him off. All right.
Before we catch a break,
yeah, go.
Let me throw this out to you guys. If Terrence Shannon Jr. does not play tonight, what does that mean?
You want to know now or after the break?
I want to know now.
Oh, you know what? I liked how Illinois looked the other night, and I think they would still be okay. But I'm ready to get everybody back to full speed and catch a little bit of some momentum going into these tournaments. That's what I would like. If he didn't play tonight, I think Illinois would still be okay. I do.
Kyle?
I agree. I don't think his availability doesn't really change my outlook a ton. Not to say that he's not important, but I think Illinois has kind of gotten used to playing without him here a little bit. It's almost like that IO situation where right. They rattled off three in a row and they just kind of, you know, they didn't really miss a beat there. I think they can still get it done without him.
Is Meyer the alpha?
Yes. I think he might even still be when Shannon's out there.
I agree.
Because as we talked about earlier in the week, Meyer's been your best player since the resumption of Big Ten play in January.
I don't think there's any doubt.
But without Shannon, he's got to once again put that much more on his plate tonight.
That's true.
This is not going to be Minnesota. This is a better defense than even Indiana. And we saw kind of how the offense dried up there in that second half of the Indiana game when Meyer cooled off. So that would really emphasize that it's not a one-off performance from RJ Melendez.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to stack another game and show up.
And get a little more out of Luke. Yep.
And Jaden Epps.
Yep.
Would have to, because when Terrence isn't out there, there's more of Epps having the ball in his hands and having to go make a play. And him against a veteran guard, Bowie, he'd have to really answer the call.
And play inside out tonight. Establish Dane early. At least try to establish Dane early and then work out. Like, don't come out hammering threes and then all of a sudden say, okay, we're not doing well on that. Let's start forcing the ball underneath. I want to see him play inside out, start with Dane, work out. That's what I'd like to see.
We got about a minute and a half.
Okay.
You want Boo Booey's career high real quick?
Yes.
I looked it up.
Oh, he did.
30 points.
Ah!
December of 2020 in an upset of number 4 Michigan State. So wow. Good call on that.
Wow. You nailed it. He loves
fighting up Michigan State.
You nailed that, Pipes. I'm gonna get to Illini Inquirer, and there's going to be this huge story about Boo Booey that Piper did with that stat. And we're going to be like, come on, you knew that.
If Terrence Shannon plays tonight.
Yes.
Which, if I had to put a small wager on yes or no, I would say yes.
Okay. That's good to hear. I mean, I'd rather have him. Not going to lie to you. I'd rather have him. And I think, like you mentioned about athleticism, he can really, I think, do some damage against this team. I think he would be great to have back. And again, I'd love to see Illinois. That would give us, what, 4 games to just with Shannon, with everybody, with Goody. It would just be great to finally get all of them back. Have we had all of them yet since Goody's been back? Has Shannon been out? Or no, he played the
I think the Rutgers game was Goody's first game.
Yeah.
And that was one that Shannon played in. And then Penn State.
Oh, and then Penn State. Yeah. Okay. I'd love to get this team, though, 3 or 4 games together, all of them together, before you get into that Big Ten tournament. I'd be all right with that.
I agree with you. I think that at least just the attention that Shannon would draw tonight would be a big deal. I think that Adige would probably have to guard him. We'll see, though, because you never know. Concussion protocol is like a day-by-day thing. Mm-hmm. I know Io practiced leading into that Michigan game on the road. He thought he was going to play. He was mad that he wasn't given the green light.
Right.
Ultimately wasn't cleared, and he didn't get to play. So we'll see. I don't know for sure, but that's just kind of my gut thing. We got to get out of here.
Give me the green light.
Catch a break on the other side.